Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Many passers-by unknowingly walked over the hallowed grass serving as the final resting place for Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler in Boston's Fairview Cemetery. But that changed in 2020 when the unmarked grave of Dr. Crumpler, who was born in 1831 in Delaware and would go on to become the nation's first black female physician, finally received a headstone. It's representative of the attention and notoriety that Dr. Crumpler has received throughout time, little to none at all. Only in recent years are her contributions to the medical community and history alike being celebrated. Delaware recently passed a resolution making June 21st Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler Day. Christiana Care's Dr. Marshalla Lee and Sinead Darby, a Wilmington City Council member and founder of Black Mothers in Power, an organization addressing the black maternal mortality crisis in Delaware, both helped mark the passage of that resolution at Legislative Hall. And in this week's Enlighten Me, I talked with both of them about Dr. Crumpler's legacy, healthcare disparities throughout the state, and much more, starting with Dr. Lee. So let's get right into it. I mean, in 1864, Dr. Crumpler became the nation's first black woman to earn an MD, began practicing medicine in Boston. But I think most people don't know about her and her contributions to history, and only recently are they starting to maybe come a little bit more to light. Why is someone as impressive as Dr. Crumpler just getting the recognition she richly deserves?
Tom, can you believe it? 1864, while African Americans were still enslaved in the United States, Dr. Crumpler was able to receive her medical degree. Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler's life and legacy is truly a testament of the importance of service and is a great reminder of the triumphs that many of our ancestors were able to accomplish despite the odds being against them. Over the last 20 years, historians and medical scholars have become increasingly more aware of Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler and the legacy that she lived. And black female physicians such as myself are shining a light on her story and are inspired by all of her service and what she did for the community.
And speaking of that, I mean, when Dr. Crumpler attended and graduated medical school, there were nearly 55,000 physicians in the United States. Only 300 were women, and obviously none were black. Dr. Crumpler faced not only racism, but sexism, and kind of the exponential impact of those two things combined for one person to have to face in that particular era. As we fast forward to present day, some of these issues of race and sex are still prevalent within the medical community. How much are they still prevalent? How much is accessibility and inclusion of people of color, that are women as professionals in the medical community, still an issue, and how much is it changing?
Medicine, such as many other sectors, are really having a Me Too movement at this moment in time. And it's important to remember all that Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler was able to overcome in her trials. Because of her race and gender, Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler was denied admitting privileges to local hospitals. She still persevered with the knowledge that Black communities needed her and were in increased risk for many medical conditions. Despite having access to work in the hospital, she used her love and resourcefulness to provide care in the homes of her neighbors and ensure that they had great access to maternal health care services. Her service was guided by her commitment and love for her neighbors. It's important to note that as late as the 1920s, there were only 65 African-American female physicians in the United States. That's not that long ago, Tom. Today, despite there being about 50% of medical school enrollees being women, African-American female physicians still only represent 3% of U.S. doctors. There's still a lot of work to be done. And we know that these shortages are multifaceted, and it's going to take a lot of resources and long-term commitment to overcome these workforce shortages.
And as the system works on that piece of things, there's also, of course, the ongoing issue of the state of healthcare and what it looks like for people of color. What's the connection between the history of healthcare disparities for those of color and their healthcare outcomes? I mean, it seems like it is something that is it's been tracked and it's very real, but I think maybe people aren't aware enough of just how significant it is.
Dr. Crumpler, along with many other physicians who have come after her, have devoted their life to addressing health inequities among people of color. The COVID-19 pandemic has proven that much progress is still needed in these efforts. Reports have shown that longstanding systemic health and social inequities resulting from structural racism continue to plague minority communities and put them in increased risk for getting sick and dying from COVID-19 and many other preventable illnesses. Unfortunately, pre-pandemic disparities allowed a global pandemic to produce drastically disproportionate health impacts from community to community. The legacy of racism, segregation, redlining, and its impact on health have been well studied. Contemporarily, we refer to these factors as the social determinants of health. Gaps in health outcomes can directly be linked to inequities in housing, education, income, and access to quality health care.
Is it specifically true for Black women as patients? Do they see perhaps even more egregious disparities than other groups?
Yes, Black women have had a peculiar relationship with the U.S. medical system. Black women, particularly when they have contact and become in contact with the medical community, especially gynecology, it contributes greatly to present day health disadvantages of Black women. Health inequities among Black women is directly rooted in slavery. Oftentimes, white slaveholders viewed enslaved women as a means of economic gain, resulting in the abuse of Black women's bodies and disregard for their reproductive health. Today, there still is a lot of distrust within the medical community among Black women. And we know that there are sometimes inequitable care and drastic differences in maternal health outcomes. Black women are 2 to 3 times as likely to die from mortality-related health conditions than white women.
You mentioned the distrust, mistrust part of that equation. How significant is that? And how significant is the idea of having Black women as medical professionals a key factor in perhaps overcoming that? The idea, we talk about this a lot in education, kids in a classroom seeing someone like themselves, how important is that same principle perhaps for someone going to a medical office or a hospital?
The doctor-patient relationship is so very important. We know that a strong relationship with a doctor can increase the likelihood that a patient will comply with the guidance that they receive from their physicians. And we know that a more diverse workforce has been shown to improve the trust that patients have and the reported quality that they receive, as well as outcomes. And so increasing the number of Black female physicians, as well as diversity in the health workforce, is integral to improving trust as well as improving health outcomes.
Are there some other solutions that you see that could be effective to addressing some of these issues we've talked about as well, beyond increasing the diversity in the workforce?
In my role as the director of the Harrington Trust, we are investing significant resources to address health equity issues as well as improving health workforce diversity. We have currently a number of mentoring programs directed towards increasing the number of underrepresented students pursuing medical degrees from Delaware, such as an MCAT prep program, as well as mentoring relationships with students at the University of Delaware and Delaware State University. We are also working to increase and recruit and retain more doctors from underrepresented backgrounds at Christiana Care. Additionally, we are working to increase the number of health equity initiatives within the health system. And the Harrington Trust this year will be providing funding to support health equity transformation awards to ensure that we're adequately addressing health disparities that exist within our community.
Are there things you think that individuals can do as patients that can that can help in this area? You know, what a lot of times people hear these issues and they feel like they're too big for them to be part of the solution. Are there small ways that people can play a role themselves?
There are a number of things that people can do to address health disparities and health inequities that exist within their communities. I recommend that one, everyone start to become familiar with what health disparities are and the toll that they play on our community. Unfortunately, health disparities and health inequities cost everyone. And so that's why it's so important that we advocate for policies that improve the healthcare status and address the social determinants of health of our neighbors, because really as a community, we're only as strong as our sickest neighbor. And so it's important that we all get involved. I also recommend that everyone become more aware of their biases and ensure that we're lending a hand to our neighbors to support everyone the best that we can.
So, Dr. Lee, let me go back and just ask you, the kind of impetus for this segment is the fact that the state actually took some time to recognize Dr. Crumpler, who is a Delawarean by birth. Tell us a little bit about that moment and you know, having that kind of official recognition for Dr. Crumpler by the state of Delaware itself.
Tom, June 21st was truly an amazing day. Initially, one of my colleagues was going to speak in support of the resolution, but they were unable to attend. And miraculously, the date was perfect for my schedule, and I was able to go in their place. I had already taken the day off because June 21st is my birthday. And it was indeed a special birthday gift to be able to stand with my friends in Delaware Humanities, the National Medical Association, and Black Mothers in Power to pay homage to Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler on my birthday.
I want to finish, you know, Dr. Lee, with just your thoughts on Dr. Crumpler. I mean, clearly she was a pioneer. She's someone that has a story that's remarkable, to say the least. But I'm curious what she means to you, both personally and as a physician, someone in the medical field, following in her footsteps.
Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler was a pioneer that blazed a trail for Black female physicians such as myself. Secretly growing up, I became familiar with Dr. Crumpler early in my medical school journey. And because of her name, Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler, deep down, I always prayed, wished, envisioned that she was my long-lost ancestor. And so the late night studying for medical school, her story, her triumphs are what really got me through. And even when I face discrimination today, I know that my struggle, nothing compared to what she had to endure to become the first physician. And despite that, despite her struggles and trials, she continued to provide the best care for her neighbors.
Thanks to Christiana Care's Dr. Marshall Ali for joining us on The Green this week. And for more on Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler and the outlook on maternal and infant health in Delaware, we also spoke with Wilmington City Council member and founder of Black Mothers in Power, Shanae Darby. And I want to start with a two-part question about Dr. Crumpler and her story. And the first part is, you know, how disappointing is it that stories like hers do not get the attention that their significance suggests that they should?
Right. I would say that it's very disappointing, right? That somehow we, during that time, her greatness wasn't recorded somewhere or recorded for us to know about it today, right? Or talked about more. So I want to say that I think it's a disappointment.
And I guess the second part of that question is, what do you think putting the spotlight on her story now and starting to give it the attention it deserves can have going forward? What does it mean? What kind of impact can her story have on those who hear it now today and start to hear, you know, what she meant and what her legacy is?
Yeah, so I think Dr. Rebecca Crumpler, I think she models a lot for even African Americans today that it is possible, right? It is possible. A lot of us still aren't in the medical field. There's not a lot of Black women physicians today. Like, she lived in
60s,
70s, and 80s is when she lived, and our numbers are low still, right, to the amount of Black women who are in the medical field. So I think she is a role model and shows that despite racism, despite challenges with prejudice in the medical system, that we're able to still thrive and become those things and make an impact. So I think that she really is an inspiration to everybody, but specifically for little Black girls, for Black women to look and say, hey, I can become a doctor, I can become a physician, I can do this. And she did it in a time where prejudice and racism look very different than it did today. So I just want to say, like, she is a role model. And I think she sets the bar high to what Black women can do.
I was going to say, we often talk about this in terms of education, right? Is having kids be able to see themselves in the people who are leading them in anything, whether it be a classroom or, in this case, I guess, in going to a doctor's office.
Yeah, that is so key and important. And I know that my mom instilled that in us too. I had a Black family doctor. He was my doctor, and I made sure that my kids were able to see that. And then when he retired, I was like, I need to find another Black doctor. And it was so hard to find one because I want my daughters to go to the doctor's office. And if they want to be a physician one day, they know they see it, right? They see it, and they know that it's a possibility for them to be in that realm. So yeah, I think definitely having that representation for kids matters, and even for adults, it matters.
And what part of the Dr. Crumpler story that people probably don't know is one of the things that we've highlighted, which is the fact that she was born here in the first state. And we talk about the first state and healthcare. One of the big issues, and one that you are working on a lot, is disparities in healthcare here in Delaware for people of color. You know, for you, just as an overview, you know, what are your largest concerns about those disparities in healthcare for people of color in Delaware?
Yeah, so when we look at almost every disease or medical challenge, Black people are like the highest rate of almost everything. The majority of cancers, the majority of heart diseases, like, we are at the highest risk. When we talk about Black maternal health care in regards to like pregnancy and delivery and postpartum, we have one of the highest disparities. And it's not because we are like genetically there's something wrong with us, but it's just the historical and current systemic racism and prejudice that exists in the medical system. Because when we look at medicine for America and where it started, it was embedded in racism. It was embedded in sexism, where a lot of their experiments to like gynecology today was done on Black women who were enslaved, right? So it's embedded in those thoughts or ideologies of like trying to use science and medicine to prove why Black people should be enslaved. So like you have to understand, like, medicine, the medical field comes from a very racist lens. And I think sometimes we have not moved away from those thoughts or ideologies when we're talking about medicine, when we're talking about the medical field. So I think when we're talking about the disparities that exist today, it really hasn't changed much over time. Like Doreen Doctors, when she wrote her book, The Book of Medical Discourses, and she's talking about some of the disparities that exist in the communities that she was working with are the same ones that exist today, right? So much hasn't changed. So I think it's important that we're pushing for more Black women or Black people or people to be more culturally competent in the medical field.
Because I guess a lot of that does breed distrust. So the disparities are exacerbated when people don't have trust in the medical profession and maybe then don't go to their doctor or don't do the things they need to do to get preventative care. Is that part of the issue as well?
Yes, mistrust. So historically, going to the doctors for some Black people have not been a good thing. Like you have or we've been experimented on without knowing that we're being experimented on, right? And then we find out, oh my gosh, we were experiments. Now every doctor is like, every medical person, because we had negative, historically as people, very negative experiences with the medical system. So we like to stay away from that. But I feel like this generation, we're kind of breaking out of those things and talking about culturally competent and being able to learn how to advocate for ourselves when we go to the doctor's office and making sure people are educated and aware. But definitely, I think that was something good to highlight.
You've mentioned your work with Black Mothers in Power and Black Maternal Mortality. Tell us a little bit about how these disparity issues show up there and what you're working on to try to address those issues.
Yeah, so with Black Mothers of Power, we focus on the maternal journey. So that's pregnancy, delivery, and then postpartum. So what you see is that while pregnant, we have a lot of high rates or disparities with any pregnancy complication you can imagine, right? And then when giving birth, we have high rates of C-sections, high rates of death of mom and baby, right? So there's these disparities that exist. And then postpartum also, Black women are more likely to experience postpartum depression and anxiety, right? Least likely to get treatment for it, mm-hmm. for, you know, many reasons, least likely to be screened for. So you see it in each stage of the maternal journey. And what we're focused on is building awareness. So we need, like, a lot of people don't know this information, right? There's a lot of Black people who don't know this, Black women who don't know this information. I didn't know this at one point in time. So how do I make sure other Black women, other Black people are aware of this information? And then how do I make sure that allies, people who are not Black, are able to become advocates? And because this is an issue that impacts everybody, right? Because it's not even like maternal care is just affecting Black women. Mm-hmm. We're just at a higher rate. Right, right. White women and white babies are dying too, right? Just not at the same rate, but it's high in the United States compared to other countries that are supposed to be similar to us. We have very high mortality rates. So it's impacting all women, but just happening to Black women at an even higher rate. So everyone should care about this issue because we are addressing and coming up with solutions to these things that would impact everybody. And then we have our doula training program. Doulas are wonderful. They help to decrease the disparities that exist in maternal care. So any person who is pregnant should get a doula, right? And there shouldn't be barriers for cost, barriers for trying to find someone who's culturally competent. I think that if you're Spanish speaking, you should be able to get a Spanish speaking doula, right? If you speak French, or if you are a woman living with HIV and you're pregnant, you should be able to have a doula who understands those experiences, right? So we have doula training programs to try to train women, Black women specifically, to become doulas throughout the state of Delaware. And then we're also focused on the organizing part. So how do we do outreach to other Black women to become a part of the movement? Because we believe in intersectionality. Intersectionality is talking about the different lenses of just being, right? I'm not a Black woman with a disability, right? Who's trying to parent. But what does it look like for a Black woman with a disability who is pregnant in the postpartum stage? How do we embrace different identities into the movement and the work that we're doing and the legislation that we're proposing, right? So working with legislators on legislation to cover doula costs with Medicaid, to make sure doctors and medical professionals are getting racism and implicit bias training, right? So they're more aware of it, and hopefully that it can decrease the disparities that exist. So that's some of the work that Black Mothers in Power is doing to address some of the medical disparities that exist for maternal care.
We've talked about these disparities in terms of healthcare and treatment and just medical care in general. But that's not, I guess, really the only piece here to the puzzle. I mean, there's other disparities that impact how people of color and others engage with healthcare. What else do you feel needs to be done in Delaware to deal with these other issues that foster the disparity? Things like education, economics, and such.
Housing is so key. Having a stable house, affordable housing, is key to your health, is key for your physical and mental health, right? So figuring out ways to provide housing for people, I think, is important. Affordable housing, right? So, and then also think environment is important, right? Black and brown neighborhoods and poor neighborhoods are more likely to have some type of pollution in the air, the water, the soil. So like, how do we look at that? Or we live in some neighborhoods are deserts for grocery stores, right? For healthy food. So how do we get access to healthy food? How do we get access to make sure our homes are lead free, right? Those things that contribute to the maternal care death rate and the morbidity rate that exists. So I think those things are important, looking at housing, environment, how our kids are getting educated. So all of those external factors play a role in the maternal care disparities that exist. And any really health disparity that exists is all about how stable that person is mentally and physically, and how do we make sure those their basic needs are being addressed. When your basic needs aren't being addressed, your body is in like a trauma response. So then it's weak, right? It's you're more susceptible to germs and diseases and mental health because your physical and your mental, because of not having housing or your environment is polluted or not having a proper education, it puts you in this high trauma mood. So,
and to kind of bring this back to Dr. Crumper as we wrap up, I mean, how important is it to, you know, have a story like Dr. Crumpler's there, you know, serve as an example for how people in the community cannot feel overwhelmed by all these issues we talked about, to see that there was someone who faced a lot of barriers and a lot of obstacles in her era and made a difference. Maybe translate that story to people who feel like they hear all these things that you and I are talking about and feel like, well, there's nothing we can do. You know, that stories like Dr. Crumpler's perhaps indicate there are things that people can do as a community to make change.
Yeah, so I think that that despite challenges due to whatever, your race, your sex, whatever it may be, you do what your calling or purpose is, right? And there might be challenges and barriers along the way, but you will become a role model for someone else. You'll be living out your full purpose. And another thing that's so key about her story, and I love, we already mentioned she's a Delawarean, so I'm excited about that. But she actually got interested in the medical field because of her aunt. Right? Her aunt who lived in Pennsylvania, who took care of sick neighbors. And her aunt wasn't a trained doctor, right? So she kind of learned this information and got this knowledge and wisdom from an elder or someone that she trusted and loved in her family, another Black woman who was doing the work in the community and taking care of people. And I can imagine that, she is the first African-American woman to earn an MD and MD degree. So it's like her aunt wasn't a doctor, a medical. So I think like we are inspired by people of all walks of life, right? And if it could be your auntie who just takes care of her sick neighbors and who just by nature, by a special gift that she's able to understand herbs and taking care of people and what people need when they're sick, and that she was able to pick up from that and then take it another level further and get her MD degree, I think that speaks volumes too on how important community is and our family is.
Thanks to Wilmington City Council member and founder of Black Mothers in Power, Sinead Darby, and Christiana Cares, Dr. Marshall Ali, for enlightening us this week.